Jesus is reigning inside. He's on the throne, and we are so thankful to have you with us. If you are a newcomer, we have some materials. Oh, the youth are released to go upstairs to the youth ministry. There goes one-third of our congregation. It's amazing how many we have these days. You newcomers are encouraged to fill out the visitor card, and immediately after the service, we have a reception for you right by the front door in our hospitality room. We'd love for you to meet our pastor. Just need to bring a few things to your attention. First and foremost, Mahesh Javda, a tremendous prophet of God, miracle healing service worker. He has a tremendous ministry. Many, many people have been healed over dozens of years in his ministry. He'll be here on Friday. There's inserts in the bulletin. If you know anybody, relative, friend, coworker, who needs a miracle because of a health crisis that they're in, please be sure, pass this to them. Encourage them to come and participate in that ministry. We also need folks to stand and help us with our children during that time. Guys, could you come up with the clipboards? We have a clipboard that indicates the ministry times that we have need for children's ministry workers. We promise that everybody who wants to be prayed for will have an opportunity at the end of the service. So there's two time slots where you can volunteer and help. So we're just going to pass these clipboards from the front to the back. Please consider how you can help us minister to our children while the service is going on Friday. And just wanted to...
For those of you who have been with us for the past several years, you'll know that Mahesh has been coming about once a year for the past 2 years. This is his third visit here to us in recent times. And he holds a special place here at our Father's house as one who has really poured into our ministry. And Pastor Lanny actually used to go and travel with him and sit under him. So much of how we minister supernaturally comes through the stream through Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda. So we're very blessed to have that as part of our heritage here at our Father's house. And so we're asking really for you to come and show up and see what God's going to do in this situation this Friday. Now, Mahesh has been carrying a specific anointing for people with cancer. And so I would ask you, really, I'm going to emphasize right now, if you know anybody who has cancer, please invite them to this healing service on Friday at 7 p.m. This is going to be a really good time for us there. Mahesh can be laying hands on everybody. And as these clipboards are going around, I just want to reemphasize, we're trying to do this in shifts so that nobody's working that full time. Everybody has an opportunity to be here in the service. And I'll say this too, Mahesh always makes it a point that whoever has served in any capacity is going to get prayer before he leaves, all right? So don't feel like, oh, if I serve, I'm not going to have a chance or an opportunity to be blessed by this ministry. Really, everybody has an opportunity for it. So please come out, see what the Lord's going to do. I have expectancy to see what God is going to do. As we've been pressing in to the presence of the Lord here, I believe that Mahesh is going to carry something new to impart to us here. And so please come with us. I'm actually going to be fasting and praying about 3 days this week ahead of time. I would invite you to do that in whatever capacity you're able to. It doesn't have to be a full 3 days or anything like that, but if you have, if you want to participate in this and say, Lord, I'm going to come with expectancy, I'm going to do some fasting, I'm going to do some praying, help lay the groundwork for this atmosphere that we're building here at our Father's house, please join me in that. Did you have something else you wanted to say, sir?
No, the scripture says we are to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. This morning we're going to rejoice because a great strain has been lifted from Michelle Nickish. There's a whole new season of life for her because her husband received his master's degree this past Friday morning.
Congratulations, Brandon. Good work. Gentlemen, if you could come up to receive the tithes and the offerings. Scripture in Proverbs says, honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. As we honor the Lord with our possessions and the first fruits from all that he gives us, he promises to bless us. to just keep the blessings flowing. That's his way at work in our lives. Now, he'll fill your barns, which are like your bank accounts. And as far as your vats of wine, maybe he'll fill your refrigerator with Budweiser. I'm not sure. But vats with new wine, refrigerators, he's got a plan. He's going to work it out in our lives. We just need to cooperate. So, Father God, we thank you for your provision of all the good things in life. We thank you that you have called us to share the resources you've entrusted in our care with the world and all they need. And all that we can do to change this generation and the world out there. We thank you for the generosity of this people that has given abundantly to our Cuba missions work and our work in other nations. We are so thankful for your work in all of our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Pastor Robin Beal has a very special message for us today. Could you please welcome her at this time?
Thank you. I wanted to give a testimony concerning Mahesh and what happened when Mahesh was here the last time. I came up for prayer for my mother, and I waited till I tried to wait until I was last in line because I knew that it was going to take me a second to try to explain what was going on with my mother. I briefly described her challenges, that she was hearing voices and someone in the attic was talking to her. This has caused us over the years to move her from one place to another. And once we moved her to that place, she heard voices again. They moved her one more time, my sisters and brothers. And my brother and my brother-in-law actually went up in the attic, which is a crawl space, and one had to drag the other one down because it was so hot up there that he felt like he was going to die up there, and they finally got him down. When they talked to my mom, they said, if someone is in that crawl space, if someone can get there, they're going to die. So don't worry about them talking to you. But she was still so confused. She would go places and sit. She was very disoriented. I don't know if you remember, but I asked the church one Sunday to pray for my mother because she pulled into Walgreens on a Saturday and stayed there all Saturday into the morning on Sunday. My brothers and sisters and I had the police looking for her. Everybody was out looking. My brothers were searching the streets. I was here praying and asking God to find her alive, and we just didn't know what to think. And when they found her, she was saying, oh, I was sitting under the light, because she was sitting under a lamplight. And she said that she felt like she just could not go home because she could not have that person speaking to her. There were times she'd call us all different names, not like normal mothers that look at you and say, you know who you are, just answer. Not that type of thing. She'd just call us random names that we didn't even know. She could no longer cook. And my sister, she came and got the car from my mother because we couldn't chance her driving anymore. So things were pretty bad. I spoke to my mother because I talked to Pastor. I said, I'm going to give this, if it's okay for me to give this testimony. And then I called my mom because I said, I really want to hear if there's something she wanted me to add. After Mahesh prayed, he said, your mother is healed. So, of course, typical Robin style, I got on the phone and called every brother, every sister, and I called all the relatives and said, Mom is healed. The man of God says Mom's healed. Mom's healed. So we're all waiting. Well, it didn't take long. Her miracles seemed to have different levels as she stopped. First, she stopped hearing voices. And then she says, he moved out because I don't hear him anymore. And then the next thing, she began to recall names and history, family history. She went to my sister and said, give me my car back. I'll drive myself where I want to go. And she could drive herself where she wanted to go. She went back to speaking at her church, the nursing home, and as she said to me, and I'm cooking for myself again. My mother received a major miracle, and I am so grateful to God. And all of this happened after Mahesh prayed, because there were little things that we would see after we prayed that there would be miracles, but all of this happened after he prayed. I'm talking to my mom on the phone yesterday. She was just so excited. And yes, she has other issues, other health issues. This year has been a year of her doing different things in medically, but I will tell you, she knows everything they're doing. She knows everyone. And not only that, she can do so many wonderful things. We are grateful to God for his miracle working power. After that, I was reading an article, and I just wanted to read a portion of this, because I feel like no matter what you go through in your life, and no matter who your parents are, this is a very important article that I read by Susan Watkins, and it was in CBN's articles online. Quiet in His Love duplicates the tenderest moments between mother and child, referring the child being fully content and simply enjoying the closeness of its mother. The mother wants nothing more than its child's presence. It is a time of quiet love, drawing strength from her proximity alone. Again, we see his mothering spirit, God's mothering spirit. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Isaiah 15:49. Who better than the designer of mothers could explain the nurturing side of himself? The nurturing definition of Jehovah Jireh, our provider, his provision, and his limitless care were famously spoken to Moses, asking, yet, about a nameless God, he replied, "Who are you?" And he says, "I am." Again, begging to fill in the blanks, wanting to know, "Who are you?" And he says, "I am. I am infinite. I am all powerful. I am whatever you need me to be." That's God's love, and that's what a mother is to many of her children. She tries to be whatever she needs to be. And in that moment, a mother comes. I often think about that blank, "I am," because when we were praying for my mother, I just thought, God, you are a right mind. You are a healer. You are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. You are. So he is. And whatever you're asking for in your life today, just remember he is. He can do whatever you need him to do. Now, I have some little quick slides that we're going to put up. And when we put this PowerPoint up, if any of you could have done much better, meet with me and teach me. I'm willing to learn. But I just thought I'd give everybody a break and make my own PowerPoint. So I am not a professional, so ignore the PowerPoint and listen to the message. All right. The secrets of a successful Christian mother. Now, I'm not talking about successful as in you're raising perfect kids or you're the perfect mother, because I am not. But there are some things I've learned over the years from other mothers and from people that have brought me in relationship in a way that I will never forget. So number one, she is confident and in relationship. In her relationship in the Lord. She knows this is a moment-by-moment journey, sometimes a minute-by-minute, sometimes an hour-by-hour journey. Jesus will never leave you alone. In walking in relationship with Jesus, there's one thing that has been determined in my life. Sometimes I was able to live for days. Sometimes I was able to live for hours in my walk, but there was a time when I first started off, it was minute by minute. I was saying, Lord Jesus, just take me to the next minute. Just walk me to the next step. Get me to the next step. And he was always there. So there is a time, mothers and women, be confident in the relationship of Jesus Christ. Because as you're confident in that relationship, it'll get you through a lot of things. Philippians 1:6 says this, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns." Whatever the Lord has started in you, he's faithful to finish it. So just know this, that you are not there all alone. He's working in your children. He's working in your husband. He's working in your family. Whatever he is doing, he will not leave you. He will complete the work. Walk in that confidence. She knows the journey is personal and intimate. This is something I had to learn, because when I was growing up in the church, it sounded so community. So as I began to grow, and as I began to grow as a mother, I recognized, man, I'll tell you what, this journey is personal and intimate. I had to come to a place where my prayer closet was a place I was visiting quite often. Quite often. It was a place that I had to go to daily. I've heard people say, well, I don't always do that, or it doesn't take that for me. I'm happy it doesn't take that for you. But for me, I have to visit every day so that I could just exist. Because that intimacy had to grow in me. It had to become personal. She knows the importance of spending personal and intimate time with Jesus, her daddy. She knows he calls her unto himself deeper. Without the personal time and intimacy, she has nothing to give. She will not know his voice. She will not know his will for her life. She will not know the way he moves her from danger, seen and unseen. I'll tell you, my personal intimate walk, the Lord has shown me many times when he just said, Robin, don't get into that. Robin, move over here. Robin, go this particular place. He constantly moves and takes me away from dangers and places me in a good place. He comforts her in the midnight hour. And also, if she did not have that intimate relationship, she wouldn't know when Jesus says, I am pleased and I love you. You know something we're not taught as Christians? That Jesus literally some days picks us up, and you know what he says? I'm so pleased with you. I love you. He's not always rebuking you. He's not always chastising you. Sometimes he just says, I'm pleased with you. And I love you. Walk in intimacy with Jesus so that you will come to that place of intimacy and get there so you can hear God say, I love you. It took me a long time, but I'll tell you, I got to the place where he said, Robin, I'm not unhappy. I love you. I sent Pastor a note about that. I know now. The love of Christ that's in my life, it's taken a long time. And I was my biggest critic, my worst critic as being a mother. I was a worst critic as being who I am. I was the biggest critic. And all along, the Lord was saying, I love you. I'm with you. I have made you. Next, Philippians, it says this. Dear friends, you always followed my instruction when I was with you, and now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desires and the power to do what pleases him. There's an intimacy there, and he's giving to you that power to walk closer to him through the Holy Spirit and to just know that he's always there. Ladies, I challenge you in the next couple of weeks, when you feel like you're pulling your hair out with your kids and you feel like you've done all you can do and you can't get the bills paid and you're just stressed, I remember saying one day to my sister a couple of years ago, she called, she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm hanging from a limb. What are you doing?" And she said, "See, I tell you, I'm not always the way you think. I'm really, I can tell everybody how I feel honestly." And I said, "I'm hanging from a limb. How are you?" And she said, "Wow." She said, "I'm not sure what to say after that." I said, "Good, because I don't need you to say anything. Once I hang up, I just need to go cry and pray." I said, "Call me back in an hour. I'll have a different answer." But it was just everything. There was so much going on. We were going through with my mother. I was going through as a mother. And we were going through all types of crisis. And it felt like I was hanging from a limb. And then I just remember saying quietly, "Lord, I don't know what else I can do. I don't know how long I can hold on, but I'm asking you to help me." Sometimes my prayers aren't hours long. They just start out with a few words that lets him know, "I really need you." And over the years, he's constantly been there. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding." That's the key. Whatever you go through, don't depend on your own understanding. He's always there. You may not hear him all the time, but he is always there. "Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." And over and over and over again, he showed me the path to take. She knows her strengths. This one can be debatable by many Christians, but this is something I learned. I remember my godmother said years ago, she said, "You may be great at some things and not great at others. Know your strengths." Women, moms, I'm encouraging you to know your strengths. A successful Christian mom knows her strength. She knows the source of her strength. She is not afraid to ask for help. As women, we feel like there's something wrong when we have to ask somebody else for help. But let me tell you something. There are people here that have successfully raised children. And I run to them. I call Marilyn quite often and say, "Okay, tell me how to get out of this before I sit in jail." And Marilyn walks me through it. I know none of you ever think like that. And I'm so happy you don't. You're so wonderfully saved. You are so wonderfully saved. But I'm telling you, my fingers are just 2 inches from choking the life out of him. And I say, "God, let me call Marilyn." And I call Marilyn and I say, "Marilyn, this is the situation. I know how to pray, but what did you do? How did you get through it?" And Marilyn so wonderfully walks me through the steps. And she's raised a daughter and she's on the other side. And there are others of you that I have talked to and you're on the other side. And when she can look back and see that her daughter is doing the things that she has taught her. We don't have to be out there all by ourselves. But ladies, if you don't know your own strength, then you are not going to ask anybody that may have more wisdom than you for help. She does not fear what will happen in the future. She knows her daddy will provide the wisdom, grace, and knowledge needed. She understands dependency in Christ. Proverbs 31:25. I love this verse. This verse I have placed in my closet and I put it on my door. And it says, "She is clothed with strength and dignity and she laughs without fear for the future." I said, "Father, I thank you that I get to laugh. I get to laugh because I thank you that there is a future. And I thank you that in the future, I don't have to be afraid of what's coming. Because you're in control of my today, my tomorrow, and the years to come." So you get to laugh. So know your strength. As Christians, we sometimes feel, just men and women, but mothers especially, you feel, "I can't ask anybody else for help. Because if I do, they're going to say, I don't know what I'm doing." Well, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't. Because we've all been brought up sometimes different ways, and it didn't work then, and it doesn't work now, so we have to learn how to do it. Don't be afraid. She knows when to rest. Mothers have such a hard time with this one, knowing when to rest. I often say there are times to pull in the carpet. When I came to Maryland and I came to this area, something that was funny to me, you can go shopping in New York City at 11 o'clock at night. I'm talking totally shopping. You can go buy clothes, shoes, and then you can go buy groceries. And it's the lights are always on. You could just always go. When I came here, I remember thinking, wow, they pulled the carpet in at 8:30. Back then, you couldn't hardly find any store open. Now you do have Walmart. But I mean, back then, you couldn't find anything open. And I was saying, how do they live? What do they do? Remember, I had just come here. Now I'm grateful that there is a time to pull in the carpet. We live in a time that people mock when you say, I am going to rest. I'm speaking of two types of rest. The first is a physical rest. Many Christian mothers join everything. You're so busy. They have no time for taking care of themselves, no time to pray, no time to take care of their families, friends, nor the church or anything else. Our human minds and bodies, they get tired. Resting is not sinful. It is knowledge, and it's even spiritual. Remember, you want longevity in motherhood. I am a personal Uber driver, so I understand longevity. Anytime my son wants to go somewhere or his friends want to go somewhere, he says, my mother will take us. I remember one night he woke me up and he says he called on his cell phone in my bedroom and he goes, Mom, so-and-so is stranded and needs a ride. I said, and they called you? He said, yes. I said, you don't have a car. And he said, well, they want to know if you will come get them. I said, where's their mother? He said, well, Mom, can we go? So we get up and we go get this kid that's getting off of work and we drop him off at his home. And on the way back, you would not have wanted to be in my car. I said, let me tell you something. Don't you ever volunteer me to drive you up and down the street to pick up people's kids. You tell their mother to get out of the bed. I got out of the bed, so we're driving. So we get halfway down the street, and I've fussed more than halfway home. And he looks over at me, and he goes, Mom? And I said, yes. And he says, thank you. His mother won't do it. Tears came to my eyes because of how mean I was. Then I had to repent, and I said, son, I am so sorry. Does he need a ride tomorrow? We'll get him. I had to recognize that, you know, it's not always about me, but I was resting, and I got very upset about that I was the one that was supposed to go get him when I didn't know that. And then I got there. So there are times that we do have to break from that, but resting is important. It gives you a sound mind. For you single moms, I want to tell you just one thing that I did when Wilson was growing up that helped me to have a little bit of sanity. You that are married, you are blessed because you could say, go see your father. But it got to the point that I would work all day. We'd ride home, and man, he was going 90 miles per hour. And we did this, and we did that, and we went here, and we went there, and we went. And I would think, God, if this child says one more thing, just one more thing. I know you all don't think like that. But anyway, when I got home, I sat him down and I said, hey, I have an idea. Why don't you go to your room for 30 minutes and I go to my room for 30 minutes? And then we join back together at the table. We do homework and I'll cook while I'm talking to you. That 30 minutes over the years has saved my life and his too. And he learned a lot. I learned a lot. But guess what? When he came back to the table, I was ready to talk. And he would tell me his whole life story and everything that happened at school. And he was ready to eat. And I would cook. And we'd talk at the table. I have treasured that time. And even as he's grown up, He will still, when he's in the house and he's not at games and stuff, he'll still go to his room. I go to my room. When he hears my door open, he will run to the table, as old as he is, and he sits and he starts telling me things. And it's good because we have learned how to work that out. Single moms talk to their kids all day. Those of you that are married cannot always relate to that. But I have to tell you something. You are your child's playmate. You are your child's toy. You are your child's feeder. You are your child. You're everything. I remember just having him knock on the door saying, "Mom, will you come play with me?" And I sat down on the floor and we built Legos because I was his playmate. And so I had to find a way to balance things. And that 30 minutes has saved our lives over the years. Moms, don't be afraid of the 30 minutes. Don't be afraid of saying, "Just give me a few minutes. You go to your room and play for a few minutes. I'll go to my room, and when I come out, we'll meet and gather." The second rest has to do with a sound mind. One of the things I recognize over the years that I know that mental illness and all types of other things came into my mother's life, but I will tell you this. My mother had a lot on her plate. She was being abused. She was trying to raise her children. She was trying to hide money so that we could eat because my father would gamble it away. She was trying to make sure that a roof stayed over our head. And when I thought of this second rest, the one thing I thought of is that my mother needed a sound mind. The sound mind that takes you through the busiest day when you think, "I can't handle it anymore." I have a saying, "Lord, silence my tired mind so I can complete the task at hand." There are just times I just said, "Lord, silence my tired mind." My mind that's racing, that's saying, "You got to do this, you got to do that. When you leave here, you got to go do this, you got to go do that." My mom had a mind that was always worried about survival. She worried every day about survival. And I look back at some of the things that she did. A couple of years ago, I called her. I remember her buying ballet shoes, and I don't know how. I did ballet, and she bought ballet shoes. She couldn't afford them. Then she bought toe shoes. I don't even understand it. I remember the time that our youth group was going away, and she gave me money to eat with and money to shop with. This is money that she hid in the midst of taking beatings and things that were happening to her, and she hid it because she knew I was going somewhere, and she knew I was going to need it. She had a survival spirit that was unbelievable, and her God took care of her. I thought, "Lord, no better person than to heal and put back in their right mind than someone that gave everything for their children." The 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind." If you're here today and you're saying, "God, that's me. I just need a sound mind." I love what I read in one of Kenneth Hagin's books. It says, in the Greek, the understanding of the scripture is this: God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power. He has given you a mind that has been delivered, rescued, revived, salvaged, protected, and brought into a place of safety and secure so that it is no longer affected by illogical, unfounded, and absurd thoughts. Wow. That's what a sound mind is. When he reaches in and he takes away everything that is going on, or he gives his child peace in the midst of the storm. I told my mother, "You had a remarkable peace that I will never understand." It wasn't a lot of things that she had, but she had peace that surpasses all understanding because she raised 9 children in that peace. The next thing is she tends to the needs of her family and home. Christian moms do this well. You tend to the needs of your family and home. This tending is done with grace, discernment for the needs of your family, prayer, and unconditional love. Unconditional love. Love without limitation. 1 Peter 4 and 8 says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sin. If we can learn to love each other the way Christ loves us, Christ is not holding you and me saying, you know what you did last week? He's holding you and me saying, I love you. He embraces us. He brings us, he endears us. He brings us close to him. 1 Peter 4 and 8 says, most important of all, continue to show deep love. Colossians 3, 13 and 14 says, make allowances for each other's faults and forgive another one who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. You and I need to recognize in the home, if you're running a home without forgiveness, you're not running a home. If you can't forgive, you won't be together very long. If you can't forgive, you won't have your children very long. And they won't have you because they have to forgive you on a daily basis. Everybody has to forgive. And so tend to your home. Tend to your family's needs. Find out what your family needs and tend to it. I learned something years ago. There's not so many busybodies when everybody tends to their family and until their home. At the end of the day, close your door and do this. Number 6, she is content in her own space. I don't have a big house. I don't have a big thing, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm content in my own space. I love to close my door. I love it. At the end of the day, when I walk in, I say, home, sweet home. This is comical, but my son kicks off his shoes. And when he was about, 14 or 15, somewhere in there, he said, Lordy, Lordy, I'm home. And I said, has it been that rough? He said, has it? You can't imagine. But I'm closing the door and I'm home. Now, he kind of got that last part from me about being home. I would say, son, close the door. We are finally home. She celebrates her families and others, their successes. She refuses to be jealous. Over the years, I have heard so many women say, I am so jealous of this person or so jealous of that person. Why? Why take the time to be jealous? She finds joy in what belongs to her, knowing whatever she needs, whatever you need, the Lord will supply in the proper season. Be grateful for what the Lord has given you, because in the proper season, he will give you what is needed. Don't be jealous of your sister. Celebrate your sister. Helen is here, and she'll tell you, I get so excited about everybody's vacation, Marcia and everybody, and when they're telling me they're going somewhere, if you don't want, I hate to tell you this, but don't tell me you're going somewhere, because if you do, I get so excited that I keep asking, are you excited? Are you excited about going? It's so exciting to me that you're going to have this wonderful opportunity. So Helen was going to Africa, and I kept saying, are you excited, Helen? Are you excited? And when she finally left, I guess she said, ooh, I'm so glad I'm gone. Robin's not going to ask me this again. But I was excited because when she came back, the first thing I said, what did you do? You know, the children at Riversong are that excited for me. I will say, I said I was going to Savannah, and I was going to see my sister. And let me tell you what all the kids said. Miss Robin, did you go to Savannah yet? This was like a month out. So every day they'd ask me, was I going to Savannah? When I got back, one of the little girls, she's so cute, she sat down. She said, so Miss Robin, sit down and tell me everything you did. So I sat down next to Hannah. And she is sitting ever so poised, And I said, well, Savannah was wonderful. And I started telling her things about Savannah. And like a child, in 2 minutes, she said, thank you, Miss Robin. She was off to play. The wonderful thing is, she wasn't jealous that she didn't get to go to Savannah. She was excited and rejoicing that I got to go to Savannah. And do you know that she will still come up to me and say, Miss Robin, I'm so glad you went to Savannah. She's already content in her own space. Find that contentment. I have talked to women over the years. Lots of women that are in different places will call and talk to me. Young women, and they say, how do I stay in my home? And this is what I said to them. Learn to love your home. Find out what you need to do to make your home comfortable. Learn to love your home. Stay home. Find a way to plant in your home. Bloom in your home. Because if you learn that, there is a contentment that will flow through your whole family. It will really be a place of peace. It will be home. And when you get there, God's Spirit will be there. Every time you walk in the door. And sometimes we're running and we're doing because we're running from the very place that God has established for us to have peace. Go home. Psalms 56 and 3 says, but when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. Sometimes we're running because we say, God, I don't know what to do. I'm afraid that this is going to happen or that's going to happen. And my sister told me something funny. Her lights went out last week. They had a storm in Savannah. Her lights went out. And my niece turned and said, did you pay the bill? She wanted to know, was the bill paid? And my sister said, of course we paid the bill. And that was her way of saying, is everything okay? Have we done everything we're supposed to do? This last one, I'm still working in, and I'm an old lady, but I'm still working in this. But many women in this church that have achieved this have taught me so many things, and I'm still growing in this area. Verse 7, it says, she's a well-seasoned woman, which her family and others enjoy. This mother stands out in a crowd. Her family sees it, and others want to know her, not because she is perfect, but because she exudes the light, the love, the joy of the Lord. And after all, she is fearfully and wonderfully made. You're salt. And wherever you go, women, salt seasons the atmosphere. Things change because you walked in the room. Matthew 5, 13 and 16 says, you are salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Women, you are the light. You're the light of your home. You're the light, mothers, to your children. My son has gone through 2 seasons. One where he couldn't tell enough people I was his mother. The second season was, please go in a car, hurry up. He didn't want anybody to know I was his mother. And now he's back at, this is my mom. This is my mom. So we entered back into a good season. And in all of those seasons, we were youth pastors, so I know that those seasons are normal. And I can encourage mothers that is coming back. But now he wants everyone to know that I am his mother. And wherever we go, he'll have people walk up and they say, are you Will's mom? They call him Will. Why? I don't know. And they said, are you Will's mom? And I said, yes, I am. Oh, he told us about you. And the very thing that my son used to hate, he tells everyone now, you're a preacher. Because for years he would always say, my mom, yeah, she goes to church. She goes to church. And I left it at that. They say, oh, you go to so-and-so's church? I say, yes. That was it. Because he didn't want to say it. I didn't want him to say it. And so now they go, you a preacher? I said, yes. And they say, your son says you're a preacher. He said you're a good preacher. And I don't know which good he's talking about, whether I'm living good or I just speak well. I don't know. I'm not going to question him. That's not important. I'm just good. So praise God. I made it to the good list. So, but Psalms 139:14. And I want to leave you women with this because I wanted you to go out today and have a lot of fun and enjoy yourself. Seasoning, there's something special about seasoning. We get seasoning. I'm part Jamaican. And there are seasoning that my family brings over from Jamaica. And it makes the best beef roast you've ever tasted. Now, I have to tell you, I've made beef roast without the seasoning, but you could tell the difference because of the seasoning. And when they bring this seasoning over, what they do is they bag it, and when I go home, they'll give us each some of it to bring back with us. It's rather expensive, and they can't really afford to buy a lot of it, so they'll give us some to bring back. Seasoning makes all the difference. Learn to grow in this relationship. I'm still seeking answers. I'm still praying. I'm still saying, God, help me to be a better mother. I don't have all the answers, but there are some mothers here that have made it. There are some mothers here that have success. They successfully know that God has brought them through. Our first lady, she doesn't like that, but Patty, God has brought her through. I call her the first lady because she is the first lady where I come from of this church. God has brought her through, and she's an example of that, and she can tell you how to make it. She's still here. She's still here and doing great, and she's been great at that. You need someone to talk to. You need someone to cry with. You need someone to encourage you in the faith. Find someone that has gone through. They're in that next step, and let them encourage you in the faith. Be seasoned. Today is your day. Strut your stuff and have a good time. Psalms 139:14 says, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. We are complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. I want to pray very specifically today for if we would bow our head and close our eyes. And I'm going to just ask you, I'm not going to ask you to come up unless you want to, but mothers that are having a hard time, it's been a difficult season, would you please raise your hand and just put it down? I see your hand. I see your hand. If you would like to, I'd really like for you to take the next step and come up for only one reason. Because there are some mothers here that can really pray with you and agree with you. Would you do that? Would you come down? Let me pray and let others pray for you. You've had a hard time. It's a tough season being a mother. You know what? I had prepared to speak on the Holy Spirit. And I have to tell you, I know the Holy Spirit is moving here, but the Lord changed it last night, so I was up till 1 o'clock. Just preparing, because the Lord said that there were women here that are having a hard time. Those of you seasoned mothers and fathers, come up and get behind these women, please. I'm asking you to come up, and can you come up? Come up and get behind these women, please. Come up to pray for them. Motherhood is not easy. It's a tough place. And I want to tell you something. As we are going through life, sometimes we need others to hold on to us, to grab us by the hand and say, it's going to be okay. We have wonderful pastors. Because I came in under Pastor Lanny, I can tell you that he's been not only a spiritual father, but he has helped me and given me knowledge and wisdom and been there when I needed him to ask him questions on how to raise my son. I didn't grow up where you raise children the way that you're supposed to, but he's helped so many ways and so many times. Raising children is not easy, but I'll tell you, it does get easier as we follow God's plan. Today, I want you to know that God loves you. And I'm going to do something that seems a little bit strange, but Pastor, would you pray for these mothers? I would like for Pastor to pray because, and I'm going to come down and agree with some of the mothers.
Father, we live in a broken society. Families have been dismembered for generations. Fatherhood has been demeaned and frequently misrepresented by those who should be carrying the mantle. And all of this abdication of responsibility falls upon the hearts of mothers, wives who feel like they're alone in the journey. I'm so grateful to you, Lord, that you have raised up a household in Southern Maryland that believes you are able to do whatever is necessary. These women who stand before you today, Lord, are bearing weights that you understand very specifically. And you hear their cry in the night. You see their frustration. You understand what it means for a single mom to be alone all the time with the weight of raising sons and daughters. As we present ourselves before you this morning, I want to again appreciate that you are the God of all comfort and the Father of compassion. And there's not a heart standing here burdened in any way that you don't fully know and understand. I ask, Holy Spirit, that on this particular day, in this particular moment, you would once again open the eyes of our understanding to see. And grant, Lord, an impartation of the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the moment of necessity. So many times, Lord, we have heard and seen you speak wisdom beyond the scope of the one speaking, and they hear God in their situations. I bless each of these, Lord, and I pray for us as a household to recognize the unique burdens of single parents, male and female. They need us to be a part of their lives for your glory as you reconstruct their lives. Grant to us, Lord, a sense of intimate community as we attempt to walk together into the future, and that we who are more stable than we once were can help affect the change in the lives of young men and women around this house. I pray, Lord, that not a single mother or father here would ever feel totally alone at our Father's house, but be joined to a community of faith that believes God is able to reconstruct what has been destroyed and to preserve that which is still intact, so that you are glorified in us and through us, and your love put on display helps the children of this household stand up in their generation to be your body of Christ. I bless these today, Lord. I thank you for the word spoken. I ask you for the fellowship that's following, and that you, Lord, would offer your comforting embrace, both spiritually and physically, through those of us who are here, standing with these who are standing before you today, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm of the opinion that there are folks standing up here who need a hug. Those of you who have arms that work, feel free to hug them. We'll meet our first-time guests out in the hospitality room.